Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Well, load shedding has hit us, and it's hit us very badly. I'm not sure if you saw the announcement yesterday. There were all sorts of threats of load shedding. Level 6, or is it stage 6? I keep my levels and stages mixed up ever since COVID. But ever since they introduced COVID to the world, not since I had COVID, just for clarity. But I think that was just really a way to tell us to be grateful for level 4 and not to complain too much about it. Either way, is there a way forward? Why can we not get out of this incredibly damaging and depressing cycle? Johan Kruger is the project manager at J.A. Kruger & Associates. Good morning. Thanks for joining us so bright and early. How are you?
Good morning, Howard, and thank you for having me on your program.
So why can we not get out of the cycle? You know, this has been going on, wow. I mean, it's since 2008, really. It happened right about the same time as a financial crisis that we started seeing, you know, this type of thing. So that's 14 years. That's embarrassing.
Well, you know, Howard, the only way to identify a cure for a malaise, you have to identify the causes.
Okay.
And to identify how to fix the problems of the rolling blackouts imposed on us by Eskom, we need to identify exactly why such load shedding actually happened. I mean, what are the immediate causes? And of course, you know, the cause can really be categorized into two categories, which is coal and consumables and maintenance and operation. Mm-hmm. We look at coal and consumables, for example. There's a lack of coal availability. You can't actually run a coal-fired power station without the coal that was designed to burn. And if you have a poor quality of coal, it doesn't work either. Feeding stones and rock as part of run-of-mine coal into a system tears the coal mills apart. It wrecks the boiler internals with abrasion, turns the ash into grinding paste that grinds the wearing parts of the ash conveying system into inoperability. And it puts the station into a position where it literally self-destructs, that this has occurred, this does occur, and frankly, that this is likely to recur, is one of the symptoms of the issues that we would have to address if we were to put the utility into a position where it could perform. I mean, similarly, there are any number of consumable supply contracts where the quantitative, or financially mismanaged supply that plagues the efficient operation of the utility. I mean, how do we fix this? Well, that's a good question. I think firstly, and there's no quick fix. Firstly, we have to cancel the wrong contracts that we currently have in place to fulfill various non-power generation agendas. Let's look at those. One agenda is the enrichment of cadres. The other agenda is ANC supporting suppliers to keep them going, or employees that are self-enriching at the expense of their employer,
right?
Or persons or institutions that have acquired supply contracts one way or another that contain terms and conditions that would never have been agreed to by any rational person. I think that we also have contracts that do not have the basic terms and conditions that allow the supply of the goods and or services to be monitored and controlled, and to ensure that such goods and or services are fit for purpose. This does not only apply to coal. I wish it did. It applies to a myriad of contracts that are currently driving Eskom into bankruptcy and keeping it there. We have to replace those contracts. We have to replace those contracts by exercising basic procurement management skills. You define what you need in terms of quality and quantity. To do this, you actually have to be aware of, in the instance of coal, for example, what the calorific value of the coal is that you require for your power station. You have to be aware of the capacity of the coal milling and feeding system. You have to be aware of your bunkerage and your storage capacity in terms of quality and quantity. And you then have to identify potential suppliers. You have to negotiate the best price and that's the price that ensures the survival of the supplier and the survival of the power station, which currently is not being done because the power stations simply are not surviving. And, of course, that procurement discipline applies to every single solitary item of goods and or services procured by any power station and by specifically the corporate procurement function. But once you have done that, if you're in a position to then look at the maintenance and operation issues, which are even worse, because the reason for the coal blackout, the immediate reason is the catastrophic failure of plant and equipment that occurs regularly. Why does this occur? This occurs because there are no spare parts. It occurs because there's been no plant maintenance actually carried out. That's not to say that there are not instances where plant maintenance has been ordered and has been paid for. It simply says that it has not actually occurred. They occur because plant is maloperated, either by untrained people or by unsupervised people, or by people supervised by people
Isn't that part of the problem? I mean, when somebody like DeRuyter comes in, you would imagine that the same process that you've clearly gone through, and I could see how you've taken this, you've looked at it, you've identified the problems, you look at how to fix them. Surely he would have done that. Does that mean that he's being undermined? Does that mean there's a lack of willingness? And does that mean, in fact, before he even starts with any of this, he's got to go back into the whole Eskom system, which is a mammoth beast, and try and figure out who's going to undermine him along the way?
Well, you know, how the issues that you have in pursuing political agendas is that you've applied these agendas to a power. You haven't to a power station, and basically you have institutionalized incompetence. Because you've got, well, for example, you have 10,000 people employed that are surplus to requirements. That's an outflow of 500 million rand a month. Direct for nothing,
right?
And of course that breeds incompetence because you have people talking to people who've got work to do, and they don't do the work, and there's nobody following that through. It has been identified. Yes, it has been. We've known that Eskom are overemployed by 10,000 people for 3 years, but it's too difficult to fix because of the political issues involved in firing 10,000 cadres,
right?
Because they've been employed as an outcome of nepotism and political agendas. So politically, it's just too difficult to fix.
So what does that mean? I mean, is the only answer competition? And competition is an answer, of course. It's a very real answer.
The answer is to strip the operate the entire operation of Eskom, lock, stock and barrel, out of the hands of the political influence that is destroying it. I mean, the supply of electricity is decreasing. Last year was the worst year on record. And eventually what's going to happen is that we're only going to have electricity for scheduled times for limited periods to politically favored recipients. And the way to actually overcome this out is to strip it out of the political arena and to institute a bog standard build, operate, and transfer type contract, similar to the contract that was entered into by Sanrail, for example, for the toll system. We know how to do it, which, by the way, is very sophisticated. The Sanrail toll system, is very sophisticated. It operates very well, and it runs without a problem. And it doesn't threaten the political situation within Sanrail and within the state. It just is a situation that manages to run itself very well.
Yeah, there's absolutely no doubt. You know, when we look at the situation, that is the only thing that's going to help. But are we seeing anything like this happening? Are we starting to see the independent power suppliers coming online at any point? It doesn't seem so.
Sorry, Howard, I'm not hearing very well.
I said, if that's the case, you know, your biggest way forward here would be independent power supplies. Because, and as you say, strip out the Eskom, create units that are run independently, and we'd have a very, very different situation. But that also means letting go of control, and that is something it doesn't appear that anyone has come to terms with yet.
Yes. How do I actually think that when we look at independent power supply, it's a palliative, it's not a cure, because it's addressing the coal phase, it's not addressing the system. You have to actually strip the whole of the electricity supply scope, lock, stock, and barrel out of the area of influence of the political parties running the country. Because whatever remains behind will be used to ensure the furtherance of a bankrupt political agenda. And when I say a bankrupt political agenda, political agendas are designed to employ people. A power station is designed to generate power. You can't apply the one to the other. They are completely at odds.
It's absolutely, absolutely fascinating. But we do need to leave it there. Johan Kruger, unfortunately, it is 7 o'clock. This is, we do have to go to the news. Thank you for your thoughts on the Eskom matter.